Okay.
Can I use this plate?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Today is the 29th day of October. It's a difficult day for many different reasons. It's the month of Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan, the bitter month of Cheshvan. At least that's how some interpreted the word Mar of Cheshvan. And when I was thinking about how to respond, I kind of wanted to figure out various places that other people thought of how to respond to different tragedies. So I want to show you a few of them now. First of all, what I think the prism that we have to take from a hashkafic philosophical perspective is source number one. Oh, by the way, of course, it goes without saying, but I want to mention it. We're, of course, going to dedicate the Torah loading in memory of the 11 people who were murdered, and it's always important to make it personal, and that's Joyce. If you take a look in the last page there, the last page lists all the 11 names. The first one is Joyce Feinberg. Joyce Feinberg was a Torontonian whose brother is a very good friend of ours, Dr. Bob Libman, who's an incredible person, incredible family, and we just hope that they're able to find some type of nechama for their family, for Joyce's family, Joyce's two kids. Joyce's husband predeceased her by about a year and a half. Again, some type of nechama for the family and for the entire community. So, and we know that when Ruth wanted to convert, the language that is often cited by Chazal, based on the Megillah, is Amech Ami, Lokai Chalokai. And I understand Lokai Chalokai. What do you mean? My God is your God, right? If you want to be part of the Jewish people and convert, you got to realize, you know, it's not the God of the Buddhists, but it's the God of the Jewish people. Let's convert. But everyone asks the question, what about Amech Ami? Well, Amech Ami seems superfluous. We see that in order to be part of the Jewish people, you have to connect to them on a national level. Amech Ami. That it's not just enough to be Lokach Lokai. It's not sufficient to say, I'm part of the Jewish people, and that's sufficient. And that's the Gemara in source number two. The Gemara in Yevamot says, Tan Rabbanan, Ger Shabbat Yitgayar, Bizman HaZeh Omrim Lo, Ma Ra'ita Shabbat Yitgayar. When is it that really drew you to want to convert? Yeta Yodea Shi Yishob Bizman HaZeh, Dvuyim Dechufim Sechufim, Mitorafim V'Yisurim Bayin Alem. You really? You want to be Jewish? Do you have any idea that the Jewish people today are despised and hated and persecuted and they have hardships and you want to be Jewish? Right? It seems preposterous. Who would want to voluntarily be part of such a nation? Ima me yodeani ve inikadai mekablim atomiyan. The person says, I know, and it's still worthwhile, and I still want to do it, we accept such a person. To begin the process of conversion. And we see here that, and the commentaries say it is not sufficient to relate just to the happy tidings, the simchas of Klal Yisrael, although for sure that's also part of it, but it appears that it is integral for every ger, how much more so for every Jew, to connect to the tzaraot, to the tragedy of Am Yisrael. That a person, and the Rambam says this, if you think that the tragedies befall the Jewish people, and it has nothing to do with you, it's a different land, it's a different place, you're considered achzari, you're cruel, and you're really not part of the Jewish people. And I think that's very, very telling. And I also think that it's also very important to realize that we have this responsibility, obligation to connect to Am Yisrael as an Am. And we also can't look at things that happen and not have a sense of introspection. And that's something around the Makoros. So that's source number one. The Gemara says, and let's do this, it's a very interesting question, right? Amar Lazandri, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Ben Levi, Lo Nivru Ramim. But meaning, what do you need thunder for? What's the function of thunder? right? Right? You wake up, wakes you up at night. What's the function? Says the Gemara. Livshot akmimos shabalev. That it's to strengthen the crookedness of the heart. That sometimes, you know, we don't realize certain things. But instead we need a wake-up call. We need a shock. And at least that's, by the way, that's external. You know, in the grand scheme of things, being woken up at 2 in the morning by thunder is not the biggest deal. But here we receive the shock at our inner core when it was people who were at a synagogue, people who are related to members in our community, and how scary it is. And everyone asks this question, you know, which synagogue could be next, right? I don't believe this was said anywhere. We just have a number of friends in Pittsburgh who we've been in touch with, and I don't know if you know this, but the building next to the synagogue was a very large police station. And that is why the police responded right away, because they were next door. The downside was they just responded. They just walked in. That's why they were pegged down by the shooter. And so I think this when you have such a tragedy, which is clearly one against Am Yisrael, and it's one against humanity, it's one against those people who are... I mean, the intent was also to get the police officers, right? To get the people who try, and their job is to save and help others. They too were considered enemies of such a person, which I think says so much about the hatred. And what made this also so difficult was that it happened in the inner sanctum of a community. It didn't happen on the street. You know, it didn't happen in a shopping mall. It didn't happen on a bus. But it happened inside a Jewish community center. It happened inside a synagogue where people came in order to speak to God. And I think that also makes it a little bit scary. And we all know we are very vulnerable. And we feel a sense of vulnerability on a regular basis in all of our shuls and all of our schools. And when you take a look, there's a kina. I saw that this was actually pointed out by Rabbi Glasser. He said that this kina, in kina tzayin, zechor asher asa sar bifnim, this kina that we see on Tisha B'Av, that Titus Harasha, after the shrouds in the second base of Mikdash, walks into Kodesh Kodashim and stabs the parochas, right? Why? And blood came out. Coming into the inner sanctum. I don't understand. You burn the basement of the Mikdash, you've won. It's over. You defeat. But nonetheless, he felt he had the need to take out a cherev, and that's what we say here in the Shalaf Charbo Uval Lefnei V'Lifnim. In the inner sanctum, Titus HaRasha felt that it wasn't now just to light everything on fire, but he felt he had to pull out a sword and destroy Am Yisrael. Nachlasenu bit kitim elachem apanim. Vegidar parochet. He had to vegidar. He had to, like, you know, carve out and jab and stab and remove. And he felt that was part of it. Why? Because when you destroy the Jewish people, it is destruction of God. It was a religious battle, and I believe this was also a religious battle. This was not just about politics. It's not just about anti-Jews. It is a much deeper seated issue. It's about who runs the world. Is there a God? Is a God of humanity? Is a God that cares about the world? Someone who's able to destroy the Jewish people in a synagogue and shoot police officers is someone who doesn't believe in God. It is a religious affront. It is not just an anti-political thing. It's much deeper than politics. And we see that, I believe, also by Titus. Now, if we have to take a look, and I think this is really important, what is the response to suffering? I mean, do we have any type of parallels to how people responded to tragedy? So I want to share with you sources 4, which is the Gemara Baba Batra. Then I want to share with you a couple of other sources and then throw out a few ideas. Number 1, the Gemara Baba Batra, which I realize I actually should have added another part to it, but that's okay too. I'll say it outside. The Gemara says, turn about it. Geshechar v'abayt b'shniyat. Do me a favor. Get me actually Gemara Baba Batra. Rabu Prushim b'Yisrael. There are many individuals who wanted to who wanted to remove themselves from the world. These people were the people who saw themselves as pirushim, that we need to remove ourselves from physical pleasures, and therefore after the churban don't eat meat. Asur shelo lecho basar v'lo lishos yain. No longer eat meat and drink wine. And when Rabbi Yeshua heard about this, he went over to speak to them. Nitbalam Rabbi Yeshua Marlam Bini. My dear sons, you don't need that. It's just the one volume. Okay, fine. He asked them, why is it that you're not going to that you're no longer willing to eat meat and drink wine? Right? Why are you doing that exactly? And they said, I'll tell you why. Well, we're going to eat meat as part of korbanos? We're not korbanos anymore. We can't bring our sacrifices in the altar. We're going to drink wine. We drink wine. We no longer offer the libations in Zichim on the Mizbeach. And so they felt they could no longer... drink wine and eat meat. The tragedy is just too great to bear. In his response, he said, listen, okay, if that's true, don't eat bread. After all, menachah, what's called in English, the meal offering, right? That's flour, there's types of flour with oil, right? How could you eat those things anymore? Peirot, don't have fruit. Don't eat. After all, bikurim, no more bikurim. So he says, maybe you could have apples and oranges because, you know, they're not bikurim. But aside from apples and oranges, you know, you can't have pomegranates, you can't have grapes. You can't drink water. The response was shatku. They were silenced, meaning they understood that perhaps they went too far. But those who say that first line anyways is the source for why we don't eat meat or drink wine during the Amar lehem b'ni bo v'amru lechem shelo litibel kol ikar yefshar. You can't say don't mourn. Tzikvar nigzor gzera. Already decreed, meaning temple is destroyed. We decreed various fast days and days to commemorate this destruction. V'itabri demidai yefshar. You can't mourn excessively. Ain't gozing zera letzibor. You can't rub letzibor echelim odbam. Because after all, it's just too difficult. We're not going to eat meat or drink wine. It's just too much. Too much. It seems to be too extensive. We're not going to be able to function. People won't be able to really handle such a burden. Ella, and this to me is very fascinating, in the middle of the page there. Kach amru chachamim. This is what the rabbis decreed. Sad adam et beito besid. A person plasters their home. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this halacha. Meyasher bo devar muat. You have to leave a little bit of space. How much? What do you do? Meaning, I'm sure you got familiar with this, that when you actually build a house, unclear, but if you just paint the house, most people say it's probably not painting, you actually have to build it. That's right. I don't know if you build your own houses, I don't know if anybody here is the original owner of their home. No, in Vancouver, no, you're not the original owner, there you go. Right? Then, you leave over an Amma by Amma, Zech L'Chorban. Another example, which is less popular, only known by people on the inside track, and nobody here experienced this, and maybe you don't know about it. My al rosh simchati. What do we say about Yerushalayim? Lo yal al rosh simchati. Right? You know that that the simcha of Yerushalayim has to be even the mourning of Yerushalayim has to be even greater than my great happiness. Al rosh simchati. Rabbi Yisrael, what is referring to? Efer makla. This refers to the ashes. It's referring to as burnt ashes. Shebrosh chatanin. We place in the head of a groom. Where do you put it? As it says, Lasum Tzion, of course, Pashi Yeshayahu, that our mourning really takes the place of glory, and by the way, glory is tefillin. That's the idea behind it. Meaning that even at a wedding, even at the greatest moment of simcha and joy, remember the churban. Now, to me, I think this is very powerful. Why? What's common with these two ideas of building a house and getting married? What's the common denominator between them? They're both happy occasions. Excellent. Starting something new. Good. What else? Wife in a house, right? A family, right? So in many ways, you know, what would I have said? Meaning, imagine after this paragraph, I needed now to come up with, how do I remember the Churban? So what was the Havmina? Refrain from? Me, what stuff. But look at where they place the memorial. Where do they place the Zecher the Churban? Where? By the greatest simcha, meaning they didn't say don't get married. I mean, if I want the conversation, don't get married, don't build a house, only lived in a shack. No, build a new home. You're building a new home. You're in control. If you can build your own home, you're a man. Have a family, simcha, curtail it. Don't forget it. But that means you're still getting married. It means you're still building home. It means that you're still being creative. It means that you still recognize the vitality of the Jewish people. The Gemara says, a little bit earlier, that there are many people after the Churban who said, let's stop having children. Why? That Zer Avraham should disappear on its own. Well, meaning, by the way, having children during the Holocaust, why have children to bring them into such a terrible world? How would you do that? It's irresponsible. You bring them into a world of near death. Why would you do that? Just allow these people to disappear on their own. And we see that, by the way, that really wasn't opinion. Don't dismiss it like it means nothing. But again, I think what we see here, it's at the bottom, that's why I forgot to include it. It's this last line. Isha. And have the Jewish people come to... But no, that was not the prevailing view. The prevailing view was the opposite. Get married, have children, rebuild. And we know the two major centers that rebuilt after the Churban, after the destruction of European Jewry, was in America. Of course, the land of Israel. Two incredible centers of Jewish life. Now, they existed before. But after the Churban of Europe, after what's known as the Holocaust, these two centers began to flourish. The Jew didn't say, I'm waving the white flag. The Jew said there was destruction. And now that there was destruction, I'm going to have rebirth. I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to create. The response to Jewish tragedy is not to wave the white flag, but rather to rebuild. Rather, it's this notion of we need to be able to continue. I want to show you two fascinating introductions to Svarim. One you don't have because it's just too long and it's very hard to read. I have it next to me. You can look on with me. It's one of the things that I've always wanted to do, just from a personal perspective and from a teaching perspective, is read introductions to Svarim. Introductions to Svarim are fascinating. I'll read a little bit of Chavad Lavavah. The introductions to Svarim sometimes, sometimes, are better than Svarim themselves. You know, even like Dhamma the Ramban of Chumash, it's just fascinating to read these introductions because it kind of, I don't want to say it's a summary, but in many ways it gives you tremendous insight into the author. And sometimes it even talks about things that, I'll give you an example, and this is what today's example is. The Achiezer is the name of a sefer. It was written by Rabbi Chaim Ozer Kaczynski. Very well known. What? The truth is, I actually think they're related. That's what Zach Krasinski told me. Yeah. So Chaim Ozer Kaczynski lived, as you can see from the dates, 1863 to 1940. He dies in 1940. Now, how old was he? 77 years old. What's fascinating about him was that he publishes the Achiezer in the very, very last days of his life, towards the end of his life. And his introduction, which is very, very hard to read, you can attest to that, right? Not easy to read. Thank you for Hebrew Books for finding it, right? Well, he signs his name at the bottom.
The font or the language?
It just came with the letters. The letters are hard to read. So this is probably a scan of the document. And I'm trying to see the year, right? It looks like Tufresh Pei Bet, right? Yeah. So that year is 4682. So if it's 682, and now we're in 5779. So what is that? About 97 years ago. So when did you publish the Sefer? 1921, right or so. And what he writes is really amazing. And what he says is, and there's a whole long introduction, and he deals with the elephant in the room. What do I mean? Listen to this. He says, listen, I know you're asking me this question, that everyone's thinking about this. And that's what? There's an emergency now in the Jewish people. Such difficult times. Is this proper to publish Sfarim? Is that a phenomenal introduction to some Sefer? I had to justify, why am I publishing a Sefer now? And Am Yisrael, this is his language, Am Yisrael Toveya Bayam Shadmaot, the Jewish people are drowning in tears. Vatemarim Shira, and by publishing a book, it's like Simcha. It's so inappropriate. It's so inappropriate. That inside and outside were being destroyed, the pillars of Torah, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm writing, I'm publishing a book. Is that considered insensitive? Is that considered inappropriate? He said, the luchot themselves, and the gvilim, the gvil, the parchments, are meshuka'im ba'esh, they're drenched in fire. And you're now you're dealing with flowery thought. Like, that's what we have to deal with. And by the way, you should know, Chaim Grudzinski was very involved in European Jewry. It's not like he sat in an ivory tower in yeshiva somewhere. He was very much involved in the community, yet he published a Sefer. He goes on, I'm not going to read it to you, it's a number of paragraphs. But he goes on to say something. How is he justifying writing a Sefer, publishing a Sefer during tragic times?
21?
Yeah. It's not 1921.
Yeah,
what?
I think it's a little later. It's 130.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah,
it's probably a bit later.
So, he says, listen to this. Ulam, I'll be the first line. Koach Yisrael Saba Lelokav. The strength of the peoples is God. V'le Torato, and it's Torah. V'chol Hadorot, v'chol Atkevoy, v'chol Zmanim. The power of the Jewish people is its Torah. The power of the generations really that exists in all time. And he said, even when there's a sword, Munachat Al Tzavaro, Torah Hashem Hayta Shashua Kol Hayom. Right, that even during times of persecution, the Torah really is something that we engage in and we engage with. And he says, even during difficult times, how important it is to learn Torah. And I think the fact that the koach of chidush, the fact that I'm writing something new, the fact that I'm publishing something new, the fact that I'm coming out with Torah is the opposite. It will vitalize, it will energize, it will assist and give them a sense of vitality and a sense of chidush, right? That will help sustain the people even during difficult times. So it's an amazing introduction to the Sefer that he has. The most famous introduction to a Sefer on this topic that I'm sure some of you have heard of before, you don't realize it, this is where it comes from, is Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden, if you turn on source number 6, Rav Yaakov Emden wrote a commentary on a Sidur. And his introduction, he writes this. Now, I made a mistake. When I was doing my copy and pasting, by mistake, these two paragraphs got flipped. I mean, the bigger paragraph is the first one. So let's read the first paragraph, and then we'll go to the small paragraph. He says the following. He says, again, the letters are hard to read, so help me out here. Eini ashkachato alehem tamid. Einai, the eyes are on providence always. V'ich lo yavush ha-kofer bashkacha. How is it not possible, or how is it possible, that a kofer, a heretic, doesn't believe in divine providence? V'yamor b'kulam, and dismisses everything. Rishayin b'yichud, anybody who just investigates. Einenu, just investigates with their own eyes. V'madinu ba'olam, just look at our status in the world today. meaning he's writing this as an introduction against those people who don't believe in Hashkacha. Anachnu ha'uma ha'gula. We are the nation that has been exiled. Se pruza. We are a se, a lamb, which is pazur, spread, right? Disperse is probably a better word to use. Ahar koma shavar leinu. Everything that's happened to us. For 2,000 years, we've been in, I guess, you know, turmoil, and it's been suffering. 2,000 years. Ve'ein uma bolam nerdefet kamunu. There's no nation in the world that's persecuted and pursued like us. Ma rabim ayutzarenu. How great of our clans. By the way, what year is this? This is not World War I. This is not World War II, right? Yaakov Emden dies in 1776. I don't know exactly when this was published, but that's the 18th century. Right? Don't get me wrong. Things are bad, but they're working out much worse. Ma atmo kish nas urosh hakamim. Right? Alinu minorenu. Literally, from time immortal, basically. From the time we were young, we were basically persecuted. Yishmedenu, lakrenu, lasarfenu. We were tried to be destroyed and uprooted and burnt. Mipnei asina, because the hatred Shesafta Akina Rabat Zerenu. Shesafta, that increased, enhanced, the hatred of our enemies. Gam lo yechlula in love deinu, but they were not able to destroy us, to eradicate us. Kol ha'umot ha'gdomot ha'tzumos, all the other previous great nations. Avad zichram. Their memory? Nada. Right? As the famous line that many people are familiar with, right? Where the, as Mark Twain always said, right, where the Greeks, where the Romans, where the Egyptians, where the Soviets, we could even say today, right, where all these great superpowers of the world, they've essentially all disappeared. Batel Svaram, their rationale, their thoughts, their whatever it is, have disappeared. Tzartzilem, their images have dissipated. But us, we cling to God and we are alive. We haven't stopped this, with all the power of the Chachamim. That we still have. Oops, I think I skipped 2 lines there, didn't I? Yeah. Sorry. We haven't ceased in the power of the longevity of our exile. Afilu ot v'nikud echad. Hasn't ceased one iota. I think I had to translate those words, right? Not one letter, not one dot. Meaning, hasn't got any better. Mitorah shebichtav. Sorry, the comma here for the response. Sorry, comma. Afilu ot v'nikud echad. Mitorah shebichtav. V'kod divir chachamim kayamim. Sorry, I didn't mean to get, but there are no commas in there. Sometimes the dots are at funny spots. And that rhymes too. That there's not even a letter or nikud from the Torah Shemotav V'chol Divrei Chachamim Kayamim Lo Yateh Al Haaretz Mikulam. That we have not lost one letter, one dot from the words of the rabbis. Meaning, it's true we know we're missing a lot out of the works of Balei Tosfot that we've lost over the years. Right? We know. I mean, what he's trying to say is that the Torah Shemotav, the primary stuff, is still in existence. Right? But we do know we lost many commentaries, especially times to be shown him because of various persecutions. But again, at its core, we still have a tremendous amount of Torah. Lushlabem Yarazman, time had not destroyed, meaning the fact that our Torah has a sense of longevity to it. Time immortal. Oh, that's a good one. Time immortal. Velo kulam. It exists. Ma yaneh bazeh filosof. You, Mr. Philosopher, what did you say about this? You heretic? Right? How would you respond to the survival of the Jewish people despite persecution, despite tragedy? What? How do you respond? Give me a rational explanation for why the Jews, when all these great powers who are much larger in number and in expanse and in power, they all disappeared and the poor Nebuch Jew has still around. Is this just happenstance? Chai nafshi is Lashon Shvuah. I swear. Listen to this. But listen, you don't understand. You're going to hear these words and you're going to shake. Kid bonandi b'niflot ela. When I actually ponder these miracles and these wonders, Gadlu etzli yoter, I think it's greater Mikol Nisim, go to the top, please. V'niflaot shasa Hashem Yitbarach. Greater than all the miracles that God did, Lavotenu b'Mitzrayim u'b'Midbar b'Eretz Yisrael. That the survival of Jewish people is greater than essentially Tanakh. That's what he's saying. That our survival since Churban is greater than Tanakh, the miracles of Tanakh. Rav Yaakov ended. This is, and the longer our exile is prolonged, this miracle becomes even more true. And it is more revealing or become knowledgeable of tokef grato, the power, the magnitude, and the greatness of God. Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. So I'm sure you've probably heard some of those lines before, but now we actually have the source. This is where it comes from. A very, very powerful statement indeed. Now, a few things. Number one, we always remember that when it comes to suffering, the word avel, I think Rav Hirsch says this, the word avel and the word aval is the same word. Meaning a mourner, you know, says aval. Now, the most classic aval in the Torah is, of course, aval ashemim anachnu al achinu. When the brothers say, we are responsible for what we did, meaning the Yosef. It's the sense of even a mourner has this very deep notion of what? Aval. And nothing wrong with that per se. But as Rav Soloveitchik often wrote, the question of lama, of why, really, when it comes to suffering, should be read as lima, to what end? We will never know the answer to why. And anybody who thinks otherwise, in many ways, is denigrating the memories of those who fallen. It is considered inappropriate, it is considered almost brazen. Say, oh, I know why these things happen. In the absence of a Navi, such a statement is preposterous and very dangerous. And maybe I'll just end with this, because it's almost Mincha time. The Sfas Emet, the great Ger Rebbe, said on what's famously written in the Haggadah, Shalo Echad Bilvad Amad Lechalotenu, meaning not just in every generation, not just this time, but every generation I had to wipe us out. The Ger Rebbe, in a very Hasidish Vortlach way, says, Shelo Echad Bilva, that when we're not one, Omdim Alein HaChalotenu, is when they destroy us. And again, unity doesn't mean we have to agree. Unity does not always mean that we have to invite each other to our weddings and parties. That's not what it means. But it means that when people see us as not a unified nation, and going back to what we said before, Amech Ami, that Elokayach Elokai, that when we talk about people being Paul called Israel, we have to recognize they're all part of this national movement, or part of this national sense of tragedy, this national dimension to call Israel, which has a tremendous amount of importance to it. And so when we think about 11 people that were murdered just 48 hours ago or so, a little more than 48 hours ago, I think it is important to us to put it into like a Torah perspective, and I think that's how we respond and look at it. And maybe we're not going to write a new chiddush on Shulchan Aruch like the Achiezer did, like Chaim Grzinski did. I realize that. Again, speaking about myself, maybe you are. I don't plan on writing it anytime soon. But I think the notion of creativity, the notion of, so what will my safer be? Maybe my safer is going to be the way I speak, the way I act. There's something I can still do that's creative and that's new that will add vitality to Am Yisrael. And that's something of paramount importance. And I think it is something we all have to take seriously and to heart. And perhaps through our new Sefer, perhaps through our Chidush, perhaps through the way perhaps we've improved a little bit and how we deal with people and others, that will bring a sense of Nechama and comfort to all of Am Yisrael. Amen.